We're reading from Psalm 63. Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. For the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Well, as I say, our text for the day, we'll return to this evening, it is Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, there is in this verse an exhortation, and there is a promise. And the exhortation and the promise belong together. Delight in the Lord, and desires of your heart. Now, when God is the object of your desire, you will never be disappointed. Love for another will never be fully satisfied. Love for someone who does not deserve it brings distress. Love that is not returned can bring heartache, and even faithful human love will end in bereavement. And the deeper that love, the deeper the grief. Human love can at times be very hurtful. But when God is the object of your love, he will never disappoint. So here's the exhortation. Delight yourself in the Lord, and the promise, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that word delight means to take great pleasure in. It has the idea of extreme pleasure. To relish, to enjoy, to glory in. So here's a question. What kind of Christian are you? It was a sunny Sunday morning in Maesteg, South Wales. The service was over. The congregation had flowed out onto the street, or the main road as it was, and a passing car with young people in, with the roof down, went past the church, and the young people in the car shouted out, "Get a life." This was their view of Christians. Dull, joyless, miserable. The British Humanist Society a few years back had a slogan painted on London buses. It read, "There's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy life." The message was, to believe in God is to be anxious, to be disturbed, to be fretful. What opinion do people have of you? Or more to the point, what opinion do people have of God through you? Do you enjoy God? Do you delight in Him? The psalmist in Psalm 73 makes this remarkable statement. There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Peter in the New Testament says, to those who believe, he is precious. The prophet Habakkuk, who was going through a hard time, says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. As a Christian, does God fully satisfy you? Or do you need to top up your Christian experience with the baggage of the world? Love for the world drives out affection for Christ. James said, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. So where is your delight as you live here on earth? Where is it you are looking for your enjoyment? Now this morning I want us to think for a little while that we've got together as to why you should enjoy God above all else. This evening we'll look at how you can enjoy God above all else. But this morning we are looking at the why question. And the first thing I would say is that you are to enjoy God before all else because you were created, and if you're a Christian, you were redeemed for this very purpose. Man was created in the image of God. He was created to enjoy God. But then sin entered in. And sin affects the whole of your being, your will, your mind, your senses. And because of sin, man left to himself has lost the whole purpose of his creation, the enjoyment of God. And not to enjoy God is to miss out on the purpose of your life here. We know that God hates sin, that he is angry with the sinner every day, and that the wages of sin is death. And sin has come between man and God. Sin has come between all that is good, all that is desirable, all that is best. This has come between you and God. But the good news of the gospel is God has not given up on you. What was lost when sin entered your life can be restored when God enters your life. When God enters your life, you are a new creation. I was at court this week with one of our Iranian friends, and the judge asked, how can you be sure that their testimony is true? That you're not being duped? And one of the answers is that a new birth, a new creation, brings a new nature. And with a new nature, there are new desires. And with new desires, there is a new way of living. And you can observe that way of living. When you come to the Lord, your will is to do His will. Your desires, if you are truly born again, are towards God. And you delight in Him. Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. Well, he did know Him. He met Him on the Damascus Road. But what he meant was, I want to know Him more intimately. That word know in Scripture often has this idea of intimacy. Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. It spoke of the most intimate human relationship. And that's what Paul is yearning for. Oh, that I might know Him, that I might know Him more intimately. The psalmist in the psalm we read said, oh God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You, as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. There was these deep, deep longings. We could almost say they were desperate longings. Now, do we know anything of this? In our Christian walk, do we truly have longings? Longings after God, oh, that I might know Him. Is this your testimony? Now none but Christ can satisfy. Or do you have other gods alongside Him? Delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. You were created for this. Now this leads to the next answer. Why enjoy God above all else? Because Christians are miserable when not enjoying God. It is well said, you cannot fill a circle with a triangle. Thomas Brooks says, no more can the whole world fill the heart of man. You were created and you were redeemed to enjoy God. And anything else you seek as a Christian to fill your life with will leave you feeling dissatisfied. Where is the so great salvation? If you have to fill your Christian experience with the trappings of the world, are you losing out on this enjoyment? Do you need to guard against legitimate things? This is one of the areas where personally I have been challenged myself in recent times. guarding against things which in themselves are legitimate. Right, as a Christian, you're steering clear of what is obviously sinful. But are legitimate activities dulling your spiritual desires? Now, what I've battled with all my life is sport. I love sport. I love football, I love cricket, I love tennis. Get excited about the Olympics. I love the competitiveness of these sports. And there is nothing inherently sinful in any of these things. I still love my sport. If Liverpool win today, I will buy the Echo tomorrow, and I won't bother if they lose. But I find that too much sport dulls my spiritual appetite and robs me of my joy. All those things I mentioned are legitimate. But you have to be careful that things that are legitimate don't take over. Christians are miserable when not enjoying God. Have you lost the sense of his presence? Is your mind on earthly things? Are you following your own desires? Are you looking out for your own interests and not the interests of Jesus Christ? Backsliding is a miserable state to be in, and it creeps upon you. For example, how is your prayer life? I heard an esteemed Bible teacher, and you would know him if I mentioned his name, say, a Christian who chooses not to be at the church prayer meeting is in a backslidden state. Now, he would be aware that there are reasons why at times you can't be at the prayer meeting. But what he was saying is, if you choose not to be at the prayer meeting, you're in a backslidden state. Now, make of that what you will. But what I will say is, one of the first symptoms of being in a backslidden state is ceasing to pray. And it creeps up on you. For the true believer, true satisfaction is only to be found in God. It is possible to be diligent in your religion and be distant in your relationship to Him. And that leads me to the next thing. Why? Why delight yourself in the Lord? Because of who God is. You are to enjoy God for himself, for who he is. It was early September. Georgie and I were on holiday with a couple of friends, another pastor and his wife from Wales, and we were in the Lake District. And I asked if I could have a day on my own, so my wife went off with our two friends. And I stood on the edge of Grasmere. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, there wasn't a breath of wind, and the lake was like a sheet of glass. There wasn't a ripple anywhere. And three sides of the lake were mirrored in the water. The hills, the fields, the trees, the boathouse. It was stunningly beautiful. And somebody walked past and said, it's beautiful. And I said, yes. And people say, there is no God. And that was the difference. Not this, but the maker of this is the delight of the believer. To know God is to enjoy God. It is to see beyond the works to him himself. Now come to Calvary. See the King of Glory marred beyond human semblance. One writer says, animal-like. He was so marred, been flayed, buffeted, spat on, mocked, crucified. Here is your king, mocks Pilate. But the eye of faith sees beyond the disfiguration and the derision, and sees the wisdom and the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Enjoy God for himself. So as a Christian, what is it that thrills you most? Is it the Lord himself? Or is it what he's procured for you? Listen again to Peter. To those who believe, he is precious. God is more glorious than glory. The king is greater than the kingdom. The redeemer is more to be desired than the reward. And the saviour is more precious than your salvation. Philippians 1:20 has been paraphrased. For me to live is Christ, but to die is more of Christ. Heaven for Peter is simply more of Christ. There is something greater than heaven. There is something greater than the future glory. It's God himself. The psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. God is my portion. What a testimony. One of my favourite quotations comes from Thomas Brooks. He wrote, Christ is lovely. Christ is very lovely. Christ is most lovely. Christ is always lovely. Christ is altogether lovely. Delight yourself in the Lord. That is, in him himself. You are to enjoy God above all else also, because this is what godly men and women do. Listen to David. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. The reason for his joy is God, his salvation. And Peter in the New Testament writes, you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And the Lord Jesus, speaking in the context of persecution and false accusation, exhorts, rejoice and be glad, For great is your reward in heaven. There is a permanency that comes with God's blessings. Christian joy has solid foundations. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Godly men and women delight themselves in God. And I want to finish where I began. What opinion do other people have of God looking at you as a Christian? Your enjoyment of God is a testimony to the world. The Reverend Henry Venn told his children, young children, he would take them to see one of the most interesting sights in the world. They were very excited. He led them to a miserable hovel. A poor young man lay on a straw bed, dying of a fever. He was afflicted with 9 painful ulcers. And I quote, Mr. Venn said, Abraham Midwood, I have brought my children here to show them that people can be happy in sickness, in poverty, in want. Now tell them if this is not so. Oh, yes, sir. I would not change my state with the richest man on earth who has not views I have. Blessed be God. I have a good hope through Christ of going to heaven. I will soon have forgotten my miseries. Sir, there is nothing to bear while the presence of God cheers my soul. Indeed, I am truly happy. I trust to be happy through all eternity. And I every hour thank God who has given me to enjoy the riches of his goodness and his grace through Jesus Christ. Now, testimonies like this cause people to say, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Do you long for conversions? Conversions of your loved ones? Delight yourself in the Lord. The promise, he will give you the desires of your heart. Why should you do it? Because you were created. For Christians, you were redeemed for this purpose. Because Christians are miserable when not enjoying God. Because of who God is, because this is what godly men do, and because your enjoyment of God is a testimony to the world, delight yourself in him.